Our speaker is Ben Bailey.
Solomon prayed, "Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart." 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9. Welcome to our study of the book of 1 Kings. As you recall, 1 and 2 Samuel teaches us about the beginning of God's kingdom through men. Saul was the first king to reign, and although he had great potential, he had ultimate failures with pride. Then David comes on the scene, and David, being a man after God's own heart, also has great potential and does many good things. But like Saul, he had some failures as well, and David ultimately committed adultery with Bathsheba. Now, at the close of David's reign, as we look in the book of 1 Kings, Solomon, David's son, is going to come on the scene. And Solomon is a very unique individual in that his heart, like the heart of his father David, has a great desire to do God's will. But for that to succeed, David knows there are some things Solomon must hold on to and must watch out for. And David gives Solomon some ultimate charges, some things he needs to remember to be faithful to God. And I want you to notice what those are. In 1 Kings chapter 2, beginning in verse 2, Solomon's charge from David is, "Be strong." Notice the words of 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 2. David said, "I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man." Does it take strength of character and strength of mind to serve the Lord? You bet it does. Does it take that to be in a leadership position? Absolutely. David knew Solomon would receive criticism, complaints that he would have difficulties to address, and he needed to be strong. The same is true for every child of God. For those even who serve in leadership capacities, whether elders, deacons, gospel preachers, Bible class teachers, whoever it may be, there's a certain amount of strength of character that you need. Well, where do you get that strength from? From the Word of God. The Word of God is living and powerful. Hebrews 4 verse 12, the Word of God is God's power to save. Romans 1 verse 16, and we can be strengthened and built up by the Word of God. To the elders in Ephesus, Paul said in Acts 20 verse 32, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." And so Christians like Solomon need strength of character, strength of mind. We need the resolve to say, if God says it, that settles it. We're going to do the will of the Lord, even if everybody else chooses not to. Now, Solomon's second challenge, charge from David, is found in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 3, where David not only tells him to be strong, he tells him to be faithful. Listen to David's word in 1 Kings 2, verse 3. The Bible says, "And keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes, His commandments, His judgments, and His testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn." David knows for Solomon's kingdom to be a success, he must be faithful to God in every way. David in essence says, if you want your kingdom to prosper, if you want God to bless you, you be faithful to Him. How true that is for every child of God. If I want God to work in my life, for others to see Him living in me and to be blessed as I follow God, I must be faithful. Jesus said in Revelation 2 verse 10, "Be faithful until death, and I'll give you the crown of life." Now, what does it really mean to be faithful? Is mediocrity faithfulness? Jesus is not talking about mediocrity. Jesus is not talking about attending an assembly occasionally. What's real faithfulness? Here's what it is. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, "If any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Real faithfulness is turning your life over to service for God. I think of the words of Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 30 following, where Jesus is asked by a lawyer a great question. What is the first and greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. How like Solomon. We need the encouragement, be faithful to God. Paul was. Galatians 2 verse 20, Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I've got to realize, like Paul did, that life is no longer about me. Here's how you view life when you become a Christian. Paul said, I beg you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies, listen, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be transformed this world, but be reformed, conformed to the image of Jesus through the renewing of one's mind. I must use my life and live my life as a living sacrifice for Jesus Christ every day. You know, when you think about the real service and sacrifice that a Christian ought to give, we must realize that's what our body is now to be used for. When I obeyed the gospel, I was giving not only my spirit, but my body in service to God. How do we know that? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? What do you mean, I'm not my own? You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. As a child of God, I must make it my aim to be 100% faithful to God all the time. Every day, 24/7, 365, I must be faithful to the Almighty. Now let's notice David's third charge to Solomon, and this is really the blessing that we see in following the will of God. Look in 1 Kings chapter 2 and notice verses 4 and 5. David says to Solomon, that the Lord may fulfill His word which He spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, He said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. God's, do you realize that God's promises are always conditional? Think about the if-then statements that you see in the Bible. Jesus taught us, if we seek first the kingdom of God, God will supply all these things to us. Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 33. Throughout the Old Testament, God will say, if you do these things, blessings will occur. If you don't do these things, curse will be upon you. And so God's conditions, God's promises are always conditional. Is it true that the grace of God is available for all men? Absolutely. But is it also true that God's grace is conditional upon my faith? You bet it is. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, by grace are you saved, listen, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 2 verses 11 through 13 says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Grace is here for everybody. Does that mean everybody's saved and automatically has it? No, only those who by faith access God's grace. Does God want all men to be saved? You bet He does. God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. God wants it so bad that He sent His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. But the very fact that that's what God wants and that God made the ultimate sacrifice, does that automatically mean everybody's going to be saved? No. Only those who do the will of God are going to be saved. The Scriptures clearly teach that. Jesus said, again, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord's going to heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Is everybody going to be saved who doesn't meet God's requirements? Nobody will. At Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Is there conditions there to be saved? Think about that verse again. Is salvation conditional? Listen again to Mark 16:16. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. There are two conditions given there before one can receive God's gift of salvation. Just like was said to Solomon, so it's true today. If you walk in His ways, if you keep His commandments, if you do these things, David said, God will always be true in His promises. Same is true for us today. If we follow God's will and do what He says, you can rest assured God will always do His part. Now, as we think further about Solomon and what made him at times in his life such a great man, one of the things is the wisdom that Solomon sought made him a great man. In 1 Kings chapter 3, here we've got Solomon in prayer to God. And God, this time, tells Solomon, you ask whatever you want, I'll give it to you. What would you do if you had a request from God like that? If God said to you today, name it, I'll give it to you. It'd be a little tempting at times, wouldn't it? Would you ask for money? Would you ask for your enemies to be killed? Would you ask for other things that might be important in your life? Or would you ask for something more on a spiritual level that would also help others? Look at what Solomon asked for in 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 9. The Bible says of Solomon and his request to God that he said, therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? Did Solomon ask for selfish things? No, Solomon was thinking about God first and others second. He wanted something that would help the people of God, and he wanted something that would help God and His kingdom. Friend, when I think about prayer, when I think about the things I ask God, are those things many times selfish? Nothing wrong, in a sense, asking for things that will help a person to be better spiritually, provided in this life, but do we think about others in our prayers, in our request to God? Solomon did, and ultimately, Solomon thought the one thing that would bring all others into play. Think about the power of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Solomon said in Proverbs 4, verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing, and all you're getting, get wisdom, he would say. Wisdom's what it's all about. What do we mean by wisdom? What is it that Solomon prayed for here? The ability to discern between good and evil and put it to use in my life. Wisdom is different from intellect in that, intellect is knowing the facts. It's understanding a term or a truth. Wisdom is different in that it also understands that, but it knows where to insert it correctly in my life. It's taking these truths found in the Bible and using them practically tomorrow. And that's the challenge for each of us. The challenge is to take the Word of God and put it in my life in the right spot. And so how we need the wisdom to discern and to use God's Word correctly in our lives. Wisdom is something we ought to pray for. The Bible says in James 1, beginning in verse 5 following, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. I need to pray for wisdom. I need to go to the right source for wisdom. Where's wisdom found? Right here in this book. These are the wisest words you'll ever find, and so I need to study. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. I need to seek God's will, and I need to pray that God will also bless me with wisdom. Now, at times in Solomon's life, he used that wisdom so wisely, so good in his life, and at other times, Solomon was the wisest fool to ever live. He had all that wisdom, and he made such bad choices. And so, listen carefully. Wisdom alone won't get you to heaven. You can have all the facts and all the wisdom in the world and still make bad decisions. You also must have a determination to do right. And it isn't enough to know the fact, and it isn't enough to know how to use the fact. You've got to say to yourself, I'm going to do the right thing regardless. Does that hard? Does it become hard at times? Sure it does. Satan's going to do his part to tempt us. The Bible clearly teaches us he's actively and aggressively seeking men and women to tempt. Do I have desires and wants that come into play? Sure they do. but resisting Satan, telling self no, and determining no matter what to do God's will must also factor in to my obedience to the Father. Now, as we look at Solomon's life, one of the things that he does in using his wisdom wise, in using his wisdom correctly, is that he uses it for building and dedicating the temple of God. Turning your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 8, and I want you to see what Solomon says here in his dedication of the temple of God about God's power. Listen to 1 Kings chapter 8, beginning in verse 22. The Bible says, "Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on the earth below like you, who keep your covenant and your mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts." Now look at what he says in verse 27. "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold heaven, and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you, how much less this temple which you have built." And so Solomon exalts the power of God. He recognizes this temple as a great thing, but he doesn't want it to be the end of their religion. "Heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you." Friend, as I think about the power of God, nothing compares with the power of God to change men's lives and to turn them from evil to good. Men who were horrible, had horrible characteristics, who were steeped in sin and idolatry and ungodliness, were changed to serve the Almighty God. Think about Saul, for an example. Saul, who was caught up in tradition, who, although he was very zealous, was zealous for the wrong thing, was actually at one time an accessory in murdering Christians, Acts chapter 8, is changed to be the greatest evangelist that the New Testament has ever seen. How could that be? Look at the change in the power of God in the lives of men and women today. But let's not limit that power just to a physical place or a location. You know, so many times people think about the church and God and they associate that with a building. Friend, let's realize God does not, He still does not dwell in temples made with hands. Acts chapter 7, verses 48 through 50. And let's realize God's church is not a building, it's a people. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, the Bible says, "There are many members, yet but one body." We are all members individually of one another. In the New Testament, the church is not the building, the church is the people. God's powerful people today are those who are following His will and doing exactly what God wants us to in the New Testament. But now, as we think about Solomon, let's also realize that Solomon made some pretty bad mistakes. Although he had wisdom from on high, and although he had the power to make good choices, so many times we see Solomon making the wrong choice. Notice in your Bible, in 1 Kings chapter 11, and let's see some of the failures that this wise man made. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, "But King Solomon love many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods." Solomon is here married to multiple women, 300 wives, 700 concubines, 1,000 women. When we think about that, you can surely see Solomon didn't always make the wisest choices. Well, what caused him to do that? Lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Solomon had the power to take it. He wanted it. He had that power. He took it, and he used his wisdom and his power not for good, but for bad. This was contrary to the will of God. God said, don't intermarry with them. But all the way back to the old law, the law of marriage at creation. God's creational law of marriage, God said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. when you think about Solomon's mistake, where was it at? God intended for there to be one man and one woman for life. That was always God's simple teaching. The same is true today. Jesus clearly taught us in Matthew chapter 19 that that law still comes into play today. God wants one man, one woman, together for life. God has never intended for man to be a polygamist. God never intended for man to have more than one wife. It's always been one man, one woman for life. Were there times when God overlooked, didn't immediately bring punishment on those bad choices? Acts 17, 30 and 31 teaches us there were. But that doesn't make it right still. God allowed them to do things, didn't immediately punish them for things that necessarily weren't right. But look at the havoc that it wreaked on their lives. Look at what happens to Solomon. He's got all these wives. And what did God say those wives would do? They will turn your heart away from God. Well, let's see if that's true. 1 Kings chapter 11, notice what the Bible says in verse 4. For so it was, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Friend, there's not only a confirmation of God's promise here that the foreign wives would do that, there's a practical lesson here for Christians today. A Christian ought to marry a faithful Christian. Why would you want to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers? 2 Corinthians 6, verses 17 and 18 teaches us not to do that. And friend, there's no greater yoke than the yoke of marriage. You're trying to help one another get to heaven, to make the best of this life. And in situations like that, to make the wisest choice, choose someone. Young people, listen carefully. Choose someone who is not just a Christian in name. Choose someone who is a faithful child of God, who puts the kingdom before you, who puts going to the assembly before anything else, who studies the Bible, who prays, who's fired up about evangelism. Choose someone who's seeking God's kingdom before all else. And then that person can encourage and help you, and you can do the same thing to them. And so, Solomon's wives, they led him away from God. Notice the extent to which they led him away from God. Here's this man. Now, you think about this. Here's this man who has wisdom from on high, and look at what he's doing next. Look in 1 Kings chapter 11, beginning in verse 5. The Bible says, For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not fully follow the Lord, as did his father David. Now notice this, Solomon even built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon, and he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrifices to their gods. How far did Solomon's wives lead him away from God? He is actually funding and building temples to false gods. You think about Molech. What did Molech do? The god of the Molech, how did they worship it? One of the ways you read about it in the Old Testament is they caused their sons and daughters to pass through the fire to be burned as they sacrificed to Molech. And here's Solomon with all this wisdom, and he's funding and building temples for false gods. Look at how those wives led him away from God. Friend, if you're going to seek the will of God, and you're going to put God first, you absolutely must find a helpmate who will help you to serve God faithfully. Genesis chapter 2, the Bible teaches us, beginning in verses 17 and 18, that the Lord God said, He saw that it was not good for man to be alone, so He said, I'll make a helper for him comparable to him. Well, what was woman to help man with? Ultimately, she was to help man get to heaven. Any marriage where the Lord does not build the house, Psalm 127, verses 1 through 3, where the husband and wife do not seek God's advice and His will on all decisions, is a marriage that is going to struggle at the very least. And so the encouragement is, find somebody who will help you get to heaven, who will help you to raise godly children, Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, and ultimately, who you can be heirs of the grace of life together with, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And so, did Solomon do some good things? He absolutely did. Did he at times make great decisions? Sure. But did he ultimately find failure in choosing the wives that he did? We know that he did. And it led Solomon down the wrong path. Friend, we ask you today, who are you putting first in your life? Who are you letting make the decisions for you? Are you doing it based on selfish desires? That won't work and it won't lead you down the right path. Are you letting others, friends, family, wife even, or a husband influence you in the wrong way? There's only one person in this life that you need to be concerned about pleasing, and that's the Almighty God. We need to ask ourselves, will this please God? What would the Lord have me to do? If you've never obeyed the gospel more than anything, we want you to know that the God of heaven loves you and that you will never find more peace and happiness than following Him. How do you become a Christian? In Acts chapter 18, verse 8, the Bible says, many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Have you heard the Word of God? Do you believe in Jesus? Are you willing to change your life and repent of sin? Would you make that great confession and would you do what Jesus said? He that believes and is baptized will be saved. If you've never obeyed the gospel, we encourage you today, put God first in your life and obey His will.